Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, October 7th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 59, the second paragraph. Here are the steps we took, and we'll be reading through step 3, ending with "To the care of God as we understood Him." I will be commenting on steps 1, 2, and 3. Today's readers are Marge E., who will be reading the 12 steps, Athena B., who will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Sandy W., K.P., and Leslie M. The share ID for Sunday, October 6th special edition, is 13,485. That's 13485. And for this morning, October 7th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 13,497. That's 13497. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Reggio will be making the announcements. COA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Marge E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Thank you very much for your service. The 12 steps. This is Marge E. from Massachusetts. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you, Marge E. And Athena B., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Yes, I will. This is Athena B. from Northern California, and these are our traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Athena. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 59, the second paragraph. Here are the steps we took. We will be reading through step 3 to the ending with to the care of God as we understood him. We'll be commenting on steps 1, 2, and 3. So, good morning, Sandy W. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks so much for your service. Yes, this is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And I'll stop there, although it seems very strange to stop after just step 3. But steps 1, 2, and 3, you know, really the foundation on which we build our recovery. And I think it all began for me when I began to understand or hear about and understand the double whammy that I can't stop once I've started and I can't stop from starting again. You know, this concept finally made sense of a life that made so little sense to me. You know, I think I always knew that when I ate certain foods, mostly sugar for me, you know, that I reacted differently than everyone else around me. But I never thought of it as an allergy. You know, I knew I couldn't stop once I'd started, but I thought it was because I didn't have enough willpower, or I hadn't found the right diet or the right therapist or health coach, or I thought I was weak in a lot of ways. It was such a relief to learn that I had a disease and that this disease was twofold in nature, and it began with this physical allergy, an abnormal reaction to ingesting a substance. And yes, I knew I absolutely broke out in fat because of it. It was because those foods caused me to want to just continue to eat more and more of them. And then to go on and learn that while that physical part of the disease was tough and the only remedy was entire abstinence, the tougher part of the disease was the mental obsession, that even once I had stopped eating those foods, my crazy mind would tell me it would be okay to start eating them again, that, you know, that either this time would be different or this time I'd be able to have that just one portion or bite, or I'd be able to get right back on track. So many insane thoughts that seemed so sane and believable at the time. But it truly was in admitting all of this, you know, basically my utter and complete powerlessness and surrendering to the disaster, really, that my life had become. You know, that is where true deep recovery began for me. Because as we've just been talking about in step two, you know, while step one teaches us our problem, and spoiler alert, in case you missed it, it's not the food. You know, step two is the beautiful solution. You know, it's finding that power greater than ourselves. You know, may you find him now. I know how much it has changed my life to have a power who I call God in it. And boy, I'll never look back. And I know I'm just about out of time, and I didn't even get step three, but I'm sure others will cover it as they take their turns. So thanks so much for letting me share, and on that I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy W. Okay, who else would like to comment on steps one, two, and three? Barbara E. Barbara E. Christina J.
Bonnie M.
Okay, hold on. Okay, I heard Barbara E. and Bonnie M. Who were the two people between them?
Irene M.
Liz. Irene. Liz, what's the first initial of your last name?
S.
Christina S. J.
Christina J.
Janice P. M.
Brandy M.
Janice P. M. And who was it Brandy?
Yes.
And what was the first initial of your last name, Brandy?
M.
M. Okay, so here's what I have. I have Barbara E., Irene, forgetting the first initial of your last name, Irene, Liz S., B. Bonnie M., Chris, Irene B., Chris, okay, I'm going to start over. Barbara E., Irene B., Liz S., Bonnie M., Christina J., Janice PM, and Brandy M. And if I got any of those wrong, you can correct me. And if everyone could please star one to mute except for Barbara E.
Can you hear
Go
me?
Go ahead, Barb. Yes, I can.
I'm so thrilled to be able to get on this wonderful 7 a.m. Pacific time meeting. I'm gonna take it from the viewpoint of the principles, because the principles and the steps for me go hand in hand. Of course, the first principle is honesty, and it began as simply being honest with myself. I was never honest with other people because I always wanted them to think better of me. And since I thought I was worthless, I lied even when there was no need. Of course, I stole, I cheated, I was untrustworthy, I exaggerated, I would let others take the blame for me. And all these things made me feel even worse about myself. Today, I don't do these at all. The new behaviors for me are part of my abstinence. Certainly where eating was concerned, I was totally dishonest. And then the second principle, hope. When I came into OA 22 years ago, I felt hopeless. I knew I would certainly fail again to ever maintain a healthy body weight. I certainly didn't think I could give up all my self-destructive food behaviors for any length of time. What I received when I walked into OA was hope. I've had hope before when I walked into Weight Watchers, Diet Center, psychologist's offices. I had hope. But this hope felt kind of differently, and I honestly don't even know why I could articulate it that it felt differently. And faith. Faith was much harder for me. I had no faith in myself. And I certainly didn't have faith that there was a higher power that I didn't understand that would be out there to guide me. But I did hear fake it till you make it, and I've always been good at faking things. I did, however, find something to have faith in, and that person was my sponsor. Not a good idea, because when she stumbled and fell and left the program, it shook me to my very core. But I was smart enough to get another sponsor. And at that time, I was also putting my faith in the fellowship, which, while wonderful, I eventually realized was not going to be my higher power. I had to be courageous, and I know this is the next principle, but I had to be courageous enough to take that first step even if I couldn't see the rest of the staircase. And I knew if I didn't change direction, I'd end up right back where I started. I had to begin to listen. Thank you for guidance from you and from this higher power that I call not me. Thank you for allowing me this time. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Okay, Irene B., you're up next, followed by Liz S.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a very gratefully recovering bulimic from Louisiana. The 12 steps are just so God-inspired. They're so perfect. Here we are with this three-legged illness, physical, emotional, and psychological. And the steps address each of those areas in such a beautiful and thorough way. And what I want to share today is the powerlessness that we have over food. And I used to think that I was powerless over food, and I thought if I could just control the food, if I could just control the weight, my life would be perfect. And come to find out, God delivered me from the obsession with the food 2.5 years ago. But what led me to the food to begin with was my mental twist for the physical aspect of it. I'm fortunate enough that as long as I refrain from eating my alcoholic foods, I seem to do okay. And I didn't think that was possible. And but it was the obsession of the mind that kept bringing me back to the food. So even though, you know, I could go a day or two and help myself from the physical condition, from the allergy of the body, I couldn't find relief from the obsession of the mind, from the emotional pain that I lived in because of a very, very sick belief system that kept leading to the buildup of human emotion. My thought life, my core belief system was such that I engaged in self-flagellation without really knowing that I did. All I knew is that I hurt. All I knew is that, I guess it's called anxiety. All I knew is that I needed to eat. I had no idea why. I just knew that I needed relief, that I needed that sense of ease and comfort because my mental twist was leading me back to the place where I needed that food. So I'll just say that with the working of the steps, God helps us. I've been trying all these years to do this on my own and to get my answer, what is my core belief? But God, in His infinite love, grace, and mercy, He's helping me realize through His power to do that which I could not do on my own. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. And Liz S., you're up next, followed by Bonnie M.
Hi, it's Liz S., recovered. And there are two things that strike me. And, you know, Bill writes that we asked his protection and care with complete abandon, and then says, here are the steps which are suggested as a program of recovery. And, you know, what I absolutely believe is that if I want God's protection and care, these steps are required. Because otherwise, I'm going to be in the food, and I can't be in the food and also have God's protection and care. It's one or the other. You know, it's like my brain can't occupy two thoughts at once. And what I found when I, with step one especially, when I eat my alcoholic foods, my life is completely unmanageable. I can't focus. I can't think straight. I can't walk my dog. I am useless at work. I can't think my whole life becomes absolute torture. The idea of how am I going to function becomes unimaginable. That to me is the worst part of step one, because I can't get my mind becomes muddled, utterly muddled, and it is torture. And in step two, the insanity, which becomes, by God's grace, my higher power's grace, is the way that I live. That my number one, food is my priority, and my character defects flourish. I cause mayhem wherever I go. I cause destruction. It's just, I'm sort of a walking disaster. That's how I live, because my priorities are completely distorted and my instincts have run amok. So sanity is what I am restored to when I decide to turn my life over to a higher power instead of me. And step three is especially crucial. And what made a difference for me is when I realized I had no plan for my life. I had no plan. I had absolutely no plan. So I thought it was time to let God's plan be the plan for my life. And maybe that would work. And that was my decision in step three. And it worked. And I followed the rest of the steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz S. And Bonnie M., it's your turn, followed by Christina J.
Hi, I'm Bonnie M. from Arizona. I just wanted to say something about step one, because when I first came into this program and got my first sponsor, I couldn't get that I was powerless. And it took me a year and a half to really get it. And this sponsor was pretty doggone patient, and she had me, and this is before vision, and she had me go through the big book, starting with, in the beginning, one line at a time. And then I think it was about a year and a half later, and it wasn't her, but I was in a retreat of some kind, and I heard the leader say, I could never eat consistently like another person. And when I heard the word consistently, all of a sudden I got it, because I could never eat consistently like what I considered healthy, normal people to eat like. But I could go for long periods of time being a white-knuckled dieter. But when I heard consistently, it just changed the whole program for me. The other thing that happened, like with step two, just the idea that I had stayed in and challenged these lines that she had me write. She also said to me, she says, you're never going to win if you keep challenging, because challengers always challenge. They never get it. And, of course, I didn't like hearing that. But at the same time, I stayed in this program, and I had to, and I basically said to myself, there's very few things I ever stayed into if I was struggling as much as I was struggling in the beginning. But I'd stayed in. So in my mind, I could believe that this was where God wanted me to be. And then things started taking shape, because things started happening to me that looked like this program was working for me, and my food did get better in spite of me. Other things started happening with my disposition in spite of some of these things I had, and that was in the 80s, and I'm still here. So for a newcomer that's struggling, I'll say just keep coming back because my gut says at some point you'll get it. Thanks.
And thank you, Bonnie M. So Christina J., you are up next, followed by Janice PM. Go ahead, Christina.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. here from the state of Washington, and very grateful to be here this morning to celebrate my crossing of the river to really knowing what step one is about, finally. My journey to that realization started in April when I had the food down pretty much for good, and my career was a shambles, and I had to surrender on all levels. I didn't know what to do. I had planned my whole entire life around a particular career that I tried to control and push through for years, and it was pretty much over. And I didn't know what to do. And I was at the height of wanting to recover, and I began to get what it was to surrender to God and live each day. Here are the steps we took when I first came into program. I ran right to this chapter. When I first got the big book, actually, which was really long before I was in program. And I thought, powerless over food. Yes, I'm powerless over food. My life is unmanageable. No, my life isn't unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Amen. I had that feeling. I knew that I could be restored because God had done lots of miracles in my life. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. I understood my God, and I was pretty sure I had my will and my life turned over. I had no idea that I was still running the show for almost 60 years. It was crazy. And it took the food to beat me into a state of reasonableness, as we've heard over and over. It took endless first bites because I was still in control and I didn't think my life was unmanageable. But as one member, I think it's Ginger C, says, thank God for every beautiful bite that brought me to my knees. And I can tell you that you will get there. I have sponsees and they want to get there now. And it took what it took for me. And it takes what it takes for all of us, as we've often said on the line. And in the meeting yesterday, there was a beautiful soul sharing about how she wants that connection with God so bad. And I did too, because I didn't realize that I didn't have it. That's one thing. But then you guys had something more. I couldn't get what this recovery was about as far as your wildest dreams being answered and all that. I was like, what? I don't have that. Why don't I have that? I have God. I have everything. Why don't I have that? But it took working these steps and just getting in there and doing the work. And, you know, we can talk and dream about doing the steps and how wonderful it's going to be. But when you hang up the phone, close down the meetings, you got to get to the big book. You got to get to do what your sponsor says. You got to pick up that phone, that 1,000-pound phone, as we all know that's what it is, and begin to build your tribe, begin to build your support system, fellows, God and humans, and begin to come to the point where you realize that you don't have an option with food anymore. It's killing you. You ate food like your hair was on fire, so did I. And now it's time for us to work this program like your hair is on fire, and you'll get what we're getting. And we continue to get, I'm closing up, we'll continue to get every day by working this program. Thank you all. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Okay, Janice PM, you're up next, followed by Brandy M.
Well, thank you so much for your service, and yes, and everyone. This is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Here are the steps we took. Now, oh God, how many of us are reading this book on and off the line? We're reading a book of some alcoholics that have recovered. This is the past tense. So this is what they did. So they're telling us, in order to get over this malady, we took these steps. See, it's past. So my goodness, there's nothing better than listening to somebody that's already recovered and doesn't have to compulsively eat anymore. So here it is. They're laying down the very first thing they say. They don't say it comes in fifth step. You know, you can eat all you want, and then, you know, around the fifth step, God will do this for you. No, it says first. We admitted, we accepted that we were powerless. That means we did not have, as I do not have, the power, the force, the ability to control what I eat, how I eat, how much I eat, you know, and that's the powerlessness of what? Of the phenomenon of craving. That's what I'm powerless over, because I'm not powerless over asparagus. Okay, because why? Because first of all, I don't like it. I don't pick it up, and I certainly don't crave it. So that's really what it means. If I'm not craving and I don't have that phenomenon, which they call the allergy, that's why I'll never be powerful over the allergy, because I'm always going to have it. It doesn't go away. I'm always going to be powerless over certain substances, over amounts, over behaviors. That does not change, because once I am a compulsive overeater, I will be until the day I die. So that's the first thing I have to know, is that I am who I am, who I say I am. I don't have the power. Well, that's the problem. Number one, it's the problem. So in order to find a solution, okay, the food has to be down. And that unmanageable, I cannot manage my life, my food, my whatever it is. I thought I, too, could manage my life. So I came to believe, step two. I didn't, some of us do in the second step, some of us don't, but it doesn't mean you have to. You're going to come to believe the truth that there's going to be a force that's going to allow me for only one day, every day, not to pick up that food because of the obsession. Thank you so much. Thank you. And then I will start thinking differently. And, of course, the third step is to decide to do that action, the rest of the actions of the steps. And I pass, and I thank you.
Thank you, Janice PM. And before we take Brandy M., just a reminder, we're on page 52, the second paragraph. Here are the steps we took. We're reading through step three, and we're commenting on steps one, two, and three. So go ahead, Brandy M.
Hi, it's Brandy M., food addict from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Step one, I've tried with this step over and over and over, and I got that my life was unmanageable because I could see that, you know, I did crazy things with food and that I couldn't live life without my drug of choice. But the fact that I was powerless, I mean, that's something that I couldn't really understand or accept. And now I feel today that I actually do get that part, is that, you know, I am so powerless over food, and my voice tells me that, you know, you can be abstinent, but you don't have to put down like all the food. You can just put down parts of the food. You can put down sugar, but you don't have to do flour or fat. Like, it's not that much of a problem. Or you can still have alcohol. And until I was ready, or until I was desperate enough to say, this is enough, and I can't live like this anymore, and I'm going to do what I'm told. A sponsor always told me, he said, you have to put down the food entirely. And he just drilled that in, and I never got that. And until about a month ago, where I had to seek outside help and go to treatment for this. And today I'm like, frick, now I know what he meant. Like, if I'm still dabbling in different things, I'm not thinking I'm powerless. There's a part of me that still thinks that I have some sort of control, and that, you know, in some way, somehow, I'm gonna beat this. And for today, all of my alcoholic foods are gone, and all of my substances, and holy shit, like, do I ever see more clearly to why I needed to do that? And I'm excited for this experience to work through the steps this time, being totally clean. And, you know, because I couldn't tell the difference between the voices. I knew Brandy didn't want to pick up, but there was a voice that sounded like Brandy that said, it's okay this time. Or, you know what, it's Friday night, go out, it's okay. And today I can say, no, that's my disease, and I am powerless over that. And abstinence has to be first, absolutely. And today I'm living a life like that's so different because of the desperation. God, this disease beat me so bad. And so I'm very grateful for step one. And now I do see when people said to me, Brandy, it's a step one issue. You're a step one issue. And I'm like, no, I get I'm powerless and I get all those things. But I got it in my head. I didn't feel it in my heart. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Perfect timing, Brandy. Thank you. Okay. Who else would like to share on these three first
Cheryl
three
F.
steps? Cheryl
Bruce
S.
E.
Bruce E.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Donna B.
Donna B. One more.
Julie T.
Julie, first initial Julie T.
P as in Paul.
P as in Paul. Okay, let's stop there. That's a great lineup, and thank you for saying your name so clearly and slowly. Okay, I have Cheryl S., Bruce E., Deborah G., Donna B., and Julie P. So go ahead, Cheryl S.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you so much for the meeting today, moderator and timekeeper and the shares. Yeah, this is good. You know, I was thinking today, earlier today, I had a word sentence, and it was rested. And I feel rested in it went on why and how come and all that. But anyway, I think about that, the term we used to use, the Christian term, rest in him. Wow, that's so powerful. Steps one, two, and three. And, if, you know, what it represents for me is that acceptance of who I am. Step one, I had to figure that out. Who are you, Cheryl? And then I had to... you know, in all my isms, who am I? Because I had all these things, you know. This is my only fellowship. And then I had to think about step two, seeking some clarity. You know, but why do I need to be restored? And that bothered me even early on in recovery when I used to hear people say, you're sick and you have these isms and da-da-da-da-da, but why? Who says so? And so I had to go out and do some more research and development in that area. And then step three, you know, I had to really, you know, break it down and start having those daily conversations with my higher power, you know, which is my prayer. And I do that daily now, all day long. And so, you know, my sentence is I feel rested when I practice the steps. And because I become full, and that brings me to the food here today. You know, I was eating myself to death because I wasn't full. My life was just eating me alive. I just was eating over my relationships, my finances, you know, my not being good enough, my lack of understanding. I just didn't know. And now I kept coming back. I shared that the other day. I kept coming back. And they say if you keep coming back, more will be revealed. And slowly but surely, my higher power, I rested in him. He said, rest in me, and I'll fill you up. I'll fill up your cup. And that's what's happening. That's what has happened. I don't need the food today to fill me up. I don't need a husband today to fill me up, or a man today, or a girlfriend today. I don't need the grandiosity and all the shopping. I don't need all that today. I can rest in him and turn to him, and he fills me up. I'm so grateful today. Steps one, two, and three. On a daily basis, practicing all these steps in all my affairs, not just here, not
Brandy.
Just my food. I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me share my truth today. I pass.
And thank you, Cheryl S. Bruce E., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Well, thanks. I'm an addict in recovery from food addiction. I'm in North Carolina, and I'm going to try to keep it on my own experience here, because when I get off seems like when I get off sharing on my own experience, I get into a lot of BS because my ego starts to come in. And let's see. We admitted we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Okay, well, so I first came into the program over 25 years ago, and I heard that, powerless over food. And I it clicked with me. I agreed with that. I am powerless over this stuff, this junk. I'm powerless over it, the junk and the other. I'm powerless over it, especially the junk. And so, you know, I mean, and every time I relapse, doesn't everybody say, you know, when you relapse, it's a step one issue. So, yeah, you know, I start forgetting that I'm powerless, and I start thinking I can manage my life. And I haven't been very good about managing my life, or especially not managing other people's lives. We're bad about managing others' lives, and even worse about managing my own. Both are unmanageable. So I have to have a power greater than myself to manage my life and to provide me with the power over this stuff. And then over 25, you know, I heard this about a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I thought, man, I have been nutty about food. I have been crazy about food. Just weird about food, you know, not crazy in love with food, but just weird about it, you know, wanting to overeat it and hide it and this and this and this and diet it off and all this and none of that stuff worked. So I need a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity, because I really have been insane about this food issue and other issues in life too. Then the decision comes to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood Him. And I thought I'd done that. You know, I thought I came into the program a religious person. I thought I'd done all that. I thought I had that all down, that kind of stuff. And maybe that's what my problem was, is I thought I had all that taken care of and all down, and had God in a box, and, you know, had corner on all the God stuff. And that was my problem, was I had to really, really surrender and step back and quit trying to do it myself.
Fine,
and
please.
Power greater myself. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Donna B. Star one to unmute, Deborah G. Okay, I'll come back to you, Deborah G. Donna B., you want to go ahead?
Sorry, got through. Sorry.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Deborah G.
We're on Deborah. Okay, go ahead, Deborah.
Couldn't get through. Hi, Deborah. I'm recovered compulsive overeater, and thank you so much for your service and all the team for their service and for all the shares that 12-step me this morning. And my first step experience was looking at the powerlessness, was that phenomenon of craving. Once I would put that food in my body, I couldn't stop. I was driven. You know, I was actually watching myself doing these things, going to get the next one and the next one. And I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. And the mental obsession that would kick in would continue to drive that, also thinking about the next thing and how the next thing was, and completely absorbed in it. And then that physical allergy, the abnormal reaction, was where my behavior was crossing the line, continually crossing the line. And I was watching that and not doing anything about it, couldn't do anything about it. And my manageability was, I was having trouble with personal relationships. I couldn't control my emotional nature. I was prey to misery and depression. I couldn't make a living. I had a feeling of uselessness. I was full of fear. I was unhappy. I couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. you know, those bedevilments, unmanageabilities on page 52, all those areas. I had to look at all those areas so I could see how that power in step two, I can't do this, that power in step two can heal those areas by going through the rest of the steps so I don't look to the food as the solution. You know, I'm not looking when I have all these feelings going on and all this stuff going on in my life that the only solution, because that's the old solution, was to do the food. And then with step three, I have written on here that, you know, if you know, my life was my business, I could control it, and I can't. You know, so with that trust and seeing that experience, how I wasn't going to the food, then I can turn my will and my life over to that power. That's how big that power is, bigger than me, bigger than this disease, and it's up there, that power. And thank you so much for everyone sharing. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, Donna B. followed by Julie P. And if I think I have time for you both to take 2 minutes, we might be able to get you both in. So go ahead, Donna B.
Thank you. My name is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. This past weekend, the Northern Colorado region hosted a convention, and the name of the convention was One Recovery, Many, One Solution, Many Voices. And as I've been listening to the meeting this morning, the name of that convention has really been resonating with me. The convention was organized in such a way that there was a panel of three people, all who were recovered, speaking on each one of the steps. And I heard so many different voices, and yet they all led to the same one solution. And that was really powerful to hear. I think about OA as a beehive, and there's so many different portals to get into the beehive. And I'm so grateful for that there are so many voices that carry the same message of recovery, but with different words and with different emphasis and different experiences. There are some voices that put me off, and there are some voices that draw me in. And I'm grateful for the voices that put me off, because I know that just as those voices put me off, there are hundreds of people suffering with the disease of compulsive overeating that have to hear that voice specifically. So I'm grateful that there are so many stories about admitting powerlessness, even more stories about finding a power greater than ourselves, and even yet more stories about how we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God and find a way to live in recovery. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Donna B. Okay, Julie P., you only have about a minute and a half, so go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Julie P. from Temecula, California. I'm just calling, powerless. I'm powerless. I'm raising my hand. I'm powerless over food, and my life is unmanageable. And, you know, I have come to believe in this power that is greater than myself, that is going to restore me to sanity. But I have to do that again and again and again on a daily, minute-by-minute basis. Because my disease tells me, you know, maybe not. No, I think you're a loser. I think you're not doing it perfectly. You should quit that whole program because you're not doing it perfectly. And maybe you've done that wrong, or I think you didn't even, that behavior was wrong, so maybe you should quit that whole program and get out of it. And I know that that's my disease today, and I thank God that I know that, and that I keep coming back, and that you guys are all here and supporting me, and my other voice that says, no, keep coming back. Don't just fail. Don't, you know, you can do this. Everybody else is doing this. All these people on this line are doing this. And that disease is powerful. So thank you. I appreciate it. That's all I
have. And thank you, Julie. Thank you, Julie P. Sorry to cut you short there. Okay. Thank you so much, everyone who shared this morning. And a special thanks to Team Monday, Marge E, Athena B, Sandy W, KP, Leslie M, Kaylee R, and Reggie O. And we do have a correction in this morning's share ID, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. That share ID is actually 13,487, 13487. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And KP, if you could please read a vision for you. Kay, star one to unmute, please.
Good morning. This is KP from South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more us and to you. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely to what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.